Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. This show is also sponsored by reclaimingtherepublic.org, and the Mobius Strip Press info can be found on mobiusstrippress.com. The number to call in is 217-867-8255 or Top Talk. Now, the White House document that's come out as far as the memo, I guess the Fox News headline says, White House document raises concerns about integrity of decisions by DOJ and FBI. Really? Just concerns? This has been a pattern since the Clinton administration way back in the 90s, where they were using the IRS to targeting Americans and harassing them and silencing them. This has been a pattern for a long time. Raises concerns. It's just another episode in a long sequence of abuses by the federal government that are well outside the scope of the Constitution. Is it really important to understand this old parchment called the Constitution? Absolutely. And it's the only thing. It is the only barrier that is protecting your inalienable rights. And if you don't understand that, then next time you're talking to somebody, just imagine if they had a foghorn and every time you opened your mouth, they just basically silenced you by drowning you out with noise. That's what happens when conservatives go to campuses. That's what is happening around this United States, where we are having people silenced because you are not within the narrative. And so I before I get into the rant of this weekend and the Super Bowl, let me just continue on with the content here. You know the top three reasons why you want to download the podcast? Because this is the only show with the actual tangible solution of putting the federal government back into the scope of the Constitution, as well as dealing with their federal overreach and actually shutting that down. There's a way of doing that, and we'll get into all of that as you listen to the show. The content on this show will refer to content in previous shows. So this is number two, reason number two. So to keep abreast with today's content and keeping it in context, you will need to listen to the previous podcast or at least be familiar with this content in context. Bear in mind, and this is number three, that the content on this show is not ephemeral. It is not perishable, even though I just kind of read a headline which will be, you know, of no consequence in a couple of days, even though there's been a pattern, as I've said. And so that's not necessarily perishable. The point is, I'm here to educate and discuss with you how to become a part of the solution. So don't forget, you can download these podcasts at reclaimingtherepublic.org. Feel free to call in. I only ask that you mind the three C's. And oh, by the way, you know I've been kind of repeating this at the beginning of each show. What I will probably do next week is just repeat, you know, the three C's or the reasons to download every other day or something like that. It just so that I don't have to take up too much of my time in kind of going through this, so that people kind of understand what I'm doing, why this is all important, and so forth. So, anyway, the three C's are confidentiality, civility, and concisement. So you just need to be concise with what you want to say. Okay, so one of the things that I have been called out for, and it happens all the time, and I understand that there are a lot of you that probably even haven't read the Constitution. You're not alone. There are lots of people that have just not picked up the Constitution, and there's ways you can get it. It's online. I would ask that you plan on finding it and reading it sometime between now and, you know, this summer. And I would ask you to set aside September 17th, which is Constitution Day, to actually read that document that day. It takes a little bit of time, but it's only four pages, folks. I mean, in the large, you know, page print that they used back then in parchment, It's only 4 pages. You got a little teeny book. It's probably about 30, 40 pages in these little teeny pocketbooks that I carry the pocketbook with me. But I know I need to explain things probably a little better. And what I would much rather you do is ask the question if you think it may be a dumb one. It's not. And as a matter of fact, it's just like your teachers and instructors have told you in the past, there's no such thing as a dumb question. If you do not understand what I am saying, by all means, call 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255, and I will explain it, and I will try to peel it back for you in the best way possible, because it is my objective. If you call with a question regarding the Constitution, it is my objective to be able to answer it on air right then, or I will get back to you and give you the details and or the all the support documents that kind of help you understand. Okay, so I'm going to try to do that a little bit better. So let me get into this weekend. Hey, we got a big game coming up. However, it's been kind of been, I guess, the thorn in our side or the finger in our proverbial eye that the NFL has decided to step into the political fray and start talking about what they call social justice and taking knees and so forth. And this, everybody's been talking about it. Well, as I have said, and I have a promo that runs, that social justice is tantamount to socialism. It is the distribution of justice, wealth, and all those types of things that they put aside the rule of law. And if you had been following me on my terrestrial radio station when this all started, I went into a rant that this is not freedom of speech. What these guys are doing has nothing to do with freedom of speech. Freedom of speech is a unique articulated thought that you may want to say, but when all of a sudden there's this common chorus line of, you know, social justice, that's not freedom of speech. I believe what they're exercising is something still protected under the Constitution, but it is not freedom of speech. This is the freedom of religious expression, because secularism and socialism are entwined, and secularism and socialism is all about social justice. That was a part of the revolution in Russia. It was a part of the revolution in France. And yes, as a matter of fact, I'll just jump ahead and say one of the things they've never taught you in modern day about modern day communism is that it actually started in France, and the French Revolution was the very first revolution that failed to impose a communist type of society. Where did it come from in France? It was the communes. The communes where the people were working together, living together because they were becoming so poor, and they basically rose up when they were starving, and that's when Marie Antoinette said, let them eat cake. Anyway, let me get back to the NFL here. The NFL has been basically poking us in the eye, and as a matter of fact, as an institution, I don't know who you work for, but if you work for an institution and you want to basically speak out in protest to something about your institution, whether it's a flag-raising ceremony or something that your institution decides to do, your institution has every right, because every institution that I know of, and you can correct me because there may be some state that has a little bit different. I think there are right-to-work states and there are property rights to some jobs, but most people fall under the at-will employee. And that means that that at-will employee can be fired at the will of the employer if you're not toting the line. And if they have a zero tolerance policy towards something, or they set out a policy that this is your behavior, like the NFL and their policy for the flag ceremony, which Pete Rozelle actually instituted, then all they had to do is follow that policy and then start fining them and basically saying, this is the conduct we expect from you. And with that, we're into a hard break, and time really flies when you're tranting. So I apologize, but I wanted to give you something to chew on as you get to watch the freedom of expression, or actually the freedom of religious expression, go on this coming Sunday. And I'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. So please stay tuned, and I'll be right back.
Rippey Homes believes that the American dream is not simply owning your home, but owning your dream home. Are you ready to upgrade, expand, or start your own custom home? If you are, I'd like to invite you to check out Rippey Homes at cgrippey.com. They offer end-to-end service from real estate to remodeling and specializes in custom homes, and they love to partner with their customers in making a difficult project worry-free. From the design to the moving in, they are with you every step of the way. If you have that dream home and looking to remodel, whether it's converting your kitchen and bath into your own heaven on earth or adding a new room, Rippey Homes has the tools, talent, and experience you can trust. So if you're ready to pull the trigger on a remodel or building that custom home, contact Cameron Rippey at cgrippey.com. That's cgrippey.com.
This is G.R. Mobley. The reason the progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost all billionaires in the world are funding a vast array of different groups, and their efforts are to undermine our Republican Constitution. If you don't believe me, Google the donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, and many other state rights, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved and supporting programs based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contributions page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. Thank you.
This is G.R. Mobley. Did you know your overall health is connected to your dental health? And as you get older, this becomes more and more important. If you're like me, going to the dentist can be terrifying. So for me to maintain my dental health and overall health, I need a great dentist and staff who are sensitive to my fear, pain, and even my fear of the cost of dental work. This is why it took me almost 2 years to find a great dentist after I moved here. Bottom line, I need a great dentist just to get into the chair, even for a regular cleaning. This is why I personally recommend Dr. Vaughn Tracy as not only a great dentist, but a patriot and a dentist that cares about your comfort and health. You can find him at VaughnTracyDDS.com. That's VaughnTracyDDS.com. Then you can agree with me. It's great to have a great dentist.
Hi, this is G.R. Mobley. If you've listened to my weekly show, Reclaiming the Republic, right here on Red State Talk Radio, every weekday evening from 6 to 7 Eastern and 3 to 4 Pacific, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. It is a hard, fast contract. In accordance to Article 7, the states are the only stakeholders in this contract, and inherent in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight over the contract. This means they can audit the contract against the general government and the unconstitutional powers they are exercising. Any single state can perform this audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what I refer to as Republic Review. Please read my executive summary on reclaimingtherepublic.org to learn the details about Republic Review. Thank you. Okay, we're back, and the number to call in if you want to join in the discussion is 215-867-8255. And with that, let me just move on, because unless you want to talk about the NFL and revisit this whole thing, there's no doubt in my mind when they're all singing the same song, that is religious expression. Freedom of speech is somebody that has a very specific message that they want to speak. And what they're talking about has more to do with religious ideological ideas that they want to infuse into our government than it has anything to do with somebody being silenced or somebody that is trying to articulate some idea. And so secular progressives and the liberals and their agenda is just an old version of slavery that dates back to Plato. And as a matter of fact, as I already said, the first iteration in our modern day history of communism and their plan, their agenda, was a part of the French Revolution. So I'm going to be very generous, and you can go to reclaimingtherepublic.org on Monday or sometime this weekend once I get it posted. I'm going to give you a free copy. It's going to be a PDF copy, but it will be posted on the podcast page for the Red State Talk Radio, not my local KSBN page, but it'll be on the pertinent information at the very bottom about today's show, which will be right next to today's, right underneath today's podcast. But I'm going to put a copy of that for you so that you can actually read it for yourself. And I'm going to get into Plato's Republic. Why? Because these are the ideologies or the concepts that we are fighting, and you can start recognizing what they are doing. And they've made some changes, because I'll give you one point. In Plato's Republic, the elitists weren't going to own property. They were to be basically bequeathed property by the people, that the people would own and possess the property. In Marx and Engels' communism, the people don't even own property, that it is it's owned by the state, which basically means that the elitists control property and are the owners of the property, which is a reverse of what Plato basically instituted. And the reason why there's a problem with this, and the reason why Plato understood why the elitists shouldn't own property or not be allowed to have any type of property like that, was because in Aristotle's book Politics, he says the two reasons why people will revolt and basically cause a revolution. And the first one was basically the reason why the French Revolution occurred, was because people aren't eating. When people are starving, they will do anything. The Arab Spring had everything to do with people starving. A lot of revolts of the government are done because of starving and no food, and your basic needs are not being met. And so the other reason that Aristotle mentions is when the people realize that you're stealing from them, from their hard work, and getting rich off of them. And so the reason why Plato made it so that the elitist wouldn't own property is because then there would be no revolt. But in communism, because they've changed that, I don't think they've put two and two together. I don't think Marx was really that smart, because again, he just copied, he plagiarized Plato. And he should have read some of Aristotle's concepts, especially in politics, that you don't want to do that, because you just basically put people on a path of revolting, because they start recognizing that these people are just, you know, getting rich and fat off of your hard work and your earnings, or the earnings that they're taking from you. And so I will have a free copy of Plato's Republic up on reclaimingtherepublic.org on my podcast page for this week, for this coming week. So again, on Monday, it'll be there, and I'll remind you on Monday that it's there. One of the things that I have noticed in talking to lots of constitutional scholars, and if you understand that there's 330 million people or so, rough estimate, of people in the United States, I honestly believe that there is less than 0.001% of the people really understand the Constitution. It's a very small number. That's 0.00001% of the people that understand the Constitution, to a point where I actually have this conversation about auditing the Constitution and so forth. Those people kind of get it. It may take a little while for them to get there, but they have enough understanding of the Constitution where they get that. And that's one of the reasons why I want to teach you what you need to know, because like I said, knowledge is power. And I truly believe that if I empower you, you can become a awesome weapon that your politicians and people that in your community will look up to, and or who knows, you know, dread you coming into the room. As a matter of fact, lots of times when I step into a room, people go, oh no, okay, we got Mr. Constitution here and we better be very careful. And yeah, they better be, because I hold that document sacred, because it is the thing that is protecting our liberties, folks. It is the thing that is protecting our inalienable rights that our framers recognized. So, as I've said, and I've said this before, that the Constitution's a contract. And so, if you read Article 7 of the Constitution, this is the ratification clause that basically says that we need this many states, and in the clause it says nine. They need nine states to ratify, to accept. So ratify is a word, it's a formal word of accepting a contract. That word in itself basically implies that what they are doing is accepting a contract. Okay, does that make sense? And so in Article 7, it identifies who has to accept this contract. So what that is saying and implying is that the stakeholders in the contract are the states. That makes sense, right? And the interesting thing also is that the term ratification, if you look at the definition of ratification way back then, and you look at the definition of ratification today, it's the same thing. It's the formal process of accepting a contract. Isn't that amazing? Some words do drift, like regulate. Back in those days, as I learned from a student of the Constitution, Mr. Gibbs, that regulate meant to put in good order. That was the definition back in those days. It wasn't to possess and control every, you know, nth degree of something. And today, regulate means that they control every whit and process within something like commerce, to regulate commerce. Well, that means the federal government's got to regulate every little nuance of commerce. No. It was to put in good order. And so to understand the contract, you have to understand the words, vernacular, and what they're saying and what they mean at that time, not as we mean and understand them today. And so I think that's really helpful to understand the meaning of those types of words. And so if you understand this ratification process, and I've gone through this probably a little bit, and I'm going to go through this a lot, in a contract, if you and I, you and I were working out a contract, and I, you know, put out that, this is my favorite little metaphor. Let me see. I've got, I don't have enough time, so I don't want to get into this. I'm going to get into the metaphor as soon as I get back from the break, but I'm going to put it into context that, you listener and your family or your company or what have you, you have this entity that is a landscaping company, and I have a home with lots of yard in my community. And I'm going to create a contract because you're going to come and work for me and you're going to do these things for me. And that's basically what the Constitution did. It created a sub-entity to perform services for the superiors or the states. And so let me just basically wait for it. Here it comes. Oh, yep, there it is. And so I will be right back after a quick word from our sponsors. And then I'll get into this metaphor about landscaping and how it'll help you make sense of this contract that I'm talking about and the ratification debates. My show, Reclaiming the Republic, is more than an educational show. My intent is also to work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way, we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. Republic. It is result-oriented and is live across the Republic. Download and share our podcast. Like, follow, and share our page, Mobius Strip Press, and the articles and content posted on our Facebook page. Get informed about groups in the local area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. This is G.R. Mobley. I'm working with Trevor Lawton, Douglas V. Gibbs, Tom DeWeese, John Hancock, and many other good patriots in setting up rodeos for Republic Review this summer. We're doing this in Wyoming, Utah, South Dakota, Idaho, Kansas, and North Dakota for this election cycle. If you are beginning to understand the power of Republic Review, then we need your help one way or another. More importantly, if you live in these states or know any patriotic leadership, whether that's an elected official, grassroots leader, or political leader, please reach out to me on Facebook or email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know who we can work with in organizing these events. It is our intent to get one and hopefully all of these states to call for Republic Review. If we can get this started, I promise you we will make America great once and for all. Thank you. This is G.R. Mobley. I've been on the radio for over a year, and for over a decade, I've been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we are going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument, and most do not like it for money reasons. If you have not read my executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can pick up my executive summaries, books, and content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you'll know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content. Most of it's free at reclaimingtherepublic.org and mobistrippress.com as well. This way, you can become a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive of businesses who are supporting to undermine our Republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on Red State Talk Radio. Thank you. Okay, we're back, and the number to call in if you want to join in the discussion is 215-867-8255. And so I actually got a question during the break regarding religion and this religious expression and how I was making this leap on these progressive football players that were, you know, speaking for social justice. And if you look at the definition of social justice, it means the redistribution, it means socialism. And secularism is an ideology and it is a religion. It is void of acknowledging, you know, this new secularism, this progressive secularism and socialism, communism. Let me just give you a paraphrased quote of Sir Isaac Newton from his book. I believe it was from the Revelations of Daniel and John the Revelator. If you want, I can give you that book in the future. If by all means, just ask me. But this is what he said. Those who seek to use science to disprove God are no longer interested in science nor men of science, but men of anti-religion, which is a religion in itself. These are those who espouse a theocracy of men or humanism and espouse humanist ideologies. And so that's what we're dealing with secularism. And as they've slowly crept into our education system, they have been teaching their humanist ideologies in stark contrast to the Christianity that we've been learning and supposedly learning. And there's been a Pew study done that there's less than, I think it's around 50%. And it used to be 80% in the 90s. It's now at around the 50% of people that are actively engaged in religious studies, going to church, that type of thing. And so I just hope you understand that we've been in this ideological civil war that I've been saying. And the evidence is there, folks. Even though there's no one in the federal government that says, yeah, we have a church, and we're going to force you to abide by our commandments and our laws, because it's called the Supreme Court. People will take you to court and sue you for expressing Christian beliefs and so forth, and they're going to say that you don't have that right. But clearly, in the Constitution article, or I should say the First Amendment, you absolutely have the right of religious expression. And that's what these NFL players have. They have the right of their religious expression in expressing the fact that they want to take away your religious expressions. That's what they're doing. And so they want to take away your speech and all of these liberties that you possess, because in socialism, if you understand Plato, you have to control the narrative. You can't let people understand and learn the truth. That would be a detriment to what they're trying to do. That's one of the reasons why in Plato's Republic, the state is responsible for controlling propaganda. And has our state been doing that? If you read a biography by David Rockefeller in 1991, he's right out there in public in the Council of Foreign Relations thanking the media, the mainstream media, for the past 50 years of controlling the narrative so that they could move their globalist agenda, their New World Order. And he actually says that, New World Order agenda forward. And so, I mean, they're getting so blazingly out there with slapping us in the face that they're doing these things that the evidence is there. Don't hate the messenger. I'm just the guy giving you the news, right? So anyway, as these shows progress, I'm going to get into this contract concept, and I'm going to get into these debates and the Federalist Papers, and I'm going to get into the Federalist Papers today if I'm lucky. But the ratification debates were the discussions of the contract. And okay, so you listener, you are my landscaper I'm going to make a contract with. And my contract is very simple for you. I basically ask you to make my yard the most beautiful yard in all of my community and all of the town. And I don't care what it takes, because I'm so opulent and have so much money, I don't care what it takes for you to do that. I want you to make my yard the most beautiful yard in all of the city. So I go to work, I fly off and, you know, do my jet commuting, and I come back later on that night. And of course, I'm the only occupant in the home. I come home and I open my door, and lo and behold, my entire household goods are sitting, or they're nowhere in my house. And inside my house is a whole bunch of yard maintenance equipment. And then I look in my backyard, and tucked right behind my house is all my household effects. And I go through my house, there's a rider mower, there's all this manure for, you know, for dunging things. And I call up my landscaper and I said, "What the heck are you doing?" And he said, "Well, you said that we could do whatever it took. And if I can have all of the stuff there available, then I can do it faster. I can be more efficient. And that's what I need to do." And because that was an ambiguous contract, he was in his legal rights to be able to do that. And so, my friends, our framers were pretty smart, because they didn't create an ambiguous contract, because they just finished a revolution with a very tyrannical government that was taxing them 0.1% over tea. How much are you being taxed over your gas? Much more than 0.1% on just the federal excise tax. Everybody's got their hands in your wallet. And that's because they're about spreading the wealth. They're about giving the welfare to friends and putting them on this great need of compassion and care. And there is no program to getting these folks off of welfare, getting them off of being indolent. They want them there because as their roles grow, they need to take more money from you because they feel they're entitled, because the Constitution does let them take money from you, but it doesn't let them take money from you for unconstitutional things. And so if you understand that we can actually get rid of all the unconstitutional things that they're taking money for, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, then I believe you'll start understanding the impetus and the drive of getting Republic Review to as many of your friends and to get this program and this information and content into all good patriots' hands. As a matter of fact, I've tried to reach out to, you know, these other hosts. The only way to contact them is via their phone lines or what have you. And you know what? They're, for whatever reason, they're unavailable. And that's fine. I'm here. They know how to get a hold of me. It's 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. So by all means, I'm here waiting, and they can call anytime. As soon as that thing pops up, I will take the call. But let me just say this, that you're only hearing the truth from this program, and you're only hearing the solution from this program. And so I would ask that you share this information and, you know, share my website, share my content and my YouTube video. I'm guaranteeing you that the epiphanies are going to happen. We're going to create a fire across the landscape of America, and actually people are going to realize that they've been stealing from us without the authority to do so in creating this, you know, welfare train, this, you know, long-term, you know, career in being indolent. And so, not that I'm insensitive. I said in my first show that it's very important that we do take care of the widows and the infirm and those people that need it. But if you can actually work, I'm sorry, you need to be working. You need to be, you know, you need to understand the value of taking pride in earning something for yourself. I mean, I remember the joy of earning my first dollar and being able to buy the first thing I wanted to buy. Those are life lessons that everybody needs to understand. And unfortunately, way too many people don't understand that. So, what are the executive departments that are unconstitutional? Well, let's start at the top, the Justice Department, since that's really in the news. It's not necessarily the first one. The first one that was unconstitutionally created was the Department of Interior. Agriculture was the next. Commerce, I think Justice was in there right before Commerce. And then Labor, Health and Human Services, Housing and Urban Development. Come on. Really? Housing? I mean, anyway, Transportation. And I'm going to get you the historical context on transportation. I mean, when Madison, Andrew Jackson, and James Monroe, all three vetoed bills to create a Department of Transportation, and we have one now, connect the dots, folks. Let's have the epiphany. The faster we get this epiphany going, the faster we can pull ourselves back from the edge of this cliff. The Department of Energy, the Department of Education, the Veterans Affairs. Yes, the Veterans Affairs. And I'm a veteran. But they couldn't take care of the veterans back after the Revolution, and it broke George Washington's heart. But that was the role of the states. The states were supposed to do that. He had to make sure that they got paid. Now, I will say this, that they've created these contracts of, you know, if you retire, you get lifelong service and those types of things. But the Department of Defense should be administering that. And the Department of Defense is not. They just created this department to suck more money and to waste it, unfortunately. And I'm a real advocate in supporting the veterans. I want you to understand this. However, I'm in a hard break, and so we're going to have to come back and talk about the veterans as soon as we come back, or as soon as this word from our sponsors is done. I'll be right back. Stay tuned. Thank you very much.
I'm amazed at just how much Rippey Homes takes pride in their partnerships, from the designers they work with to the artisans they employ, and you, the homeowner. They relish in getting it right the first time. To do this, they place their focus up front on what you want and what you need and begin forming a plan like a sculptor, taking care of the intricate details. to ensure it meets your expectations. Whether you need innovation in a custom home to harmonize with the environment while offering the latest in building materials and technology, or simply adding a room, a bath remodel, they take a bottom-up approach that centers around you, the customer. They know that you are the integral component to the American dream, which is how they help you build your dream to make your dreams become a reality. Contact Cameron Rippey at cgrippy.com. That's Cameron Rippey at cgrippy.com.
This is G.R. Mobley. Most of you understand the importance of having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategic goal for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy, you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain or restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Tracy at VonTracyDDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. This is G.R. Mobley. I've been on the radio for over a year, and for over a decade, I've been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we are going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument, and most do not like it for money reasons. If you have not read my executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can pick up my executive summaries, books, and content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you'll know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content. Most of it's free at reclaimingtherepublic.org and mobistrippress.com as well. This way, you can become a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. Hi, this is G.R. Mobley. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states, in accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution. These conventions require states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. These conventions are unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to get my executive summary on Republic Review and listen to Reclaiming the Republic right here on Red State Talk Radio every weekday evening from 6 to 5 Eastern and 3 to 4 Pacific. Thank you. Okay, we're back, and the number to call in if you want to join in the discussion is 215-867-8255. Okay, one of the things I wanted to point out is the Department of Justice. The Department of Justice's role is to go after and to punish those who are committing crimes that against the federal government. And so I want to throw it out there. Next week, I'm going to have a contest. And so I ask you to kind of get smart on the Department of Justice. I'll give a set of books away to whoever can answer a very specific question I have regarding the Department of Justice. But anyway, I was railing on the Veterans Affairs. The Department of Defense should actually be the keepers of this, and they should have probably plussed up when all of a sudden they had to, because corporations have to do this, folks. If you create a retirement and you create retirement benefits of healthcare and those types of things, and then you offer this to your employees, as long as those employees are alive, you've got to service those retirement benefits to them in that compensation form as a part of that package that they get. The Department of Defense is the one that should be handling the veterans and so forth, instead of just passing them off to the VA and then all of a sudden, because they know what's happened. They know where you've been. They've got all your records. Why is it that they get a chance to retire the records and then force the VA to have to ask for them or you to provide? I mean, that's just bureaucracy, folks. And so, anywho, the last department that I'm going to mention, which is unconstitutional, is the Department of Homeland Security. It violates, I believe, Article 1, Section 8, Subsection 17, I believe. No, maybe it's 16. It is the militia clause, and the federal government's responsible in, you know, basically providing and training militias and so forth. That is our homeland security, and I didn't see the Constitution get amended in changing that, in granting the federal government this job of doing that. And so, anywho, let me kind of move on. One of the things what I want to do is I want to get into the Federalist Papers, and it looks like with what time I have left, I probably won't be able to get into those. So I want to kind of try to fly through some of this stuff. And as I was saying, that these executive departments require an Article 5 process to occur. This isn't me telling you this. This is Madison telling you this, the father of the Constitution. And if you go read his veto of the bonus bill in 1817, you'll agree with me. And I will actually read that down the road here. I'm just trying to tell you where all these pieces lie, and we'll get into them. But conservative entertainers that are competing with me at this exact same time and space or throughout the day, not one is really offering a solution that I'm aware of in dealing with government overreach and these encroachments in our rights and states' rights. So if you feel like there's a conservative entertainer out there that's really offering a solution that's paralleling me, then I'd love to talk to them. And you just ask them to call me, or you can call me and let me know, and I'll call them. It's 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Please compare the progressive advances at this point in time in what we are doing and what they have done, because lots of people like to talk about who the winners are. As a matter of fact, I think Trump has said we're winning and we're getting back to winning and so forth. I want you to understand this in context to what advances they've made. They took away prayer out of school. They took the Bible out of school. They've basically debased our society to where, you know, we all know it's wrong that somebody hits and beats up or, you know, attacks an elderly person, lady or man. It doesn't matter. That's just immoral that you see thugs doing that. And so the problem, and that is that is a symptom of how we've become an immoral society. So the problem is that they've made these advances by removing this stuff out of our education system, and they haven't once relinquished any ground that they have given us. I mean, Trump surely gets my hat off and in the concept of these peeling back regulations. But let's start taking back some of the ground that the progressives have really taken, that we're not seeing any, and never has there been a compromise. It seems like the Republican Party is the party of compromise. It's always sliding towards socialism, and it's never sliding back towards individual liberty, individual sovereignty, and constraining the federal government to the context of the Constitution. So again, back on these hosts, if you can tell me which ones are out there, I can give you, some two hosts that I know of, Glenn Beck and Mark Levin, that are at least trying to break the status quo paradigm. They're out there promoting the Convention of States. And if you listen to my promo, I'm telling you that's very dangerous. And the biggest reason why this is dangerous is because this is a contract, folks. And there is this implication that when you go to contest something about the contract and you don't address all of the problems of the contract and you can't solve anything and you end up going away and saying we need to regroup, well, that just means that you basically accepted the implication, especially if you didn't even put them on the table, The whole point of the Convention of States is to amend the Constitution so that somebody can get a great, you know, remembrance down the road. I really don't care who remembers me. What I care about is that my children are protected by the exact same rights and privileges that my forefathers had and that we've kind of been enjoying somewhat. And the only way to do that is restoring the federal government back into the framework and scope. So we have to reclaim the republic by republic review. And so if I can't go into the details of this because I've got maybe 5 minutes, but I'll just kind of talk about the top level. I said this before. There are really four camps out there, five camps technically, and I'm one of them. The first camp is the progressive camp, and they basically want to discard the Constitution any way they possibly can. And that's one of the reasons why they're joining into the Conventionites camp. The second camp is that Conventionites camp. This is the camp that Beck and Levin are in. And for whatever reason, they believe that an amendment is going to solve something when the federal government's been ignoring the Constitution all these times. What does it mean we give them more words to ignore? Really? I don't understand the thought of trying to give them something else when they've already ignored it to the nth degree and they're doing everything that they want and they're listing against us all of these are taking away all of our rights. And I'm going, it hurts my head. The third camp is the anti-conventionites. These are the people that are just the status quoers. They want to assert that we stay the course. We've got to change through, you know, elections and through the courts. And no, that's been proven that that doesn't work. The fourth camp is the unantied. If you have not made a decision on a convention or not to convention, then you're the one that's kind of out there. And I'm telling you that the fifth camp is the camp you need to be in, and that's the Republic Review camp. That's where I am. And I'm actually in between the anti-conventionites and the conventionites. And if you kind of understand that I'm actually a course of action that, you know, gives those anti-conventionites a actual solution to go, you know what, we're not even opening up the Constitution to amend it here. What we're doing is we're demanding enforcement because supposedly that's what they stand for. The conventionites are all saying that, hey, there's a problem and we need to fix this problem, but they're trying to address the problem with this fact of opening up the Constitution, which is like I said, it's dangerous. And I'll go into the details of this in a future show, but I only have so much time. And so I want you to go away with this understanding that the Constitution can be enforced and that the states have the authority. They've possessed this authority just like King Rohan possessed the authority over his kingdom, but he fell under the spell of Wormtongue in The Lord of the Rings. If you saw that movie and you understand that point in time where King Rohan just believed he was a dying, decrepit old man, his kingdom was lost, that there was nothing left to do. We'll never make it. He was an Eeyore. And, when Gandalf whacked him with his staff, he came out of that spell and he realized that he was still a young man. He was still young enough to fight and ride a horse. And he, you know, realized he still had some army, some men that could bear arms. And so they rode. And that's what the states have. They've been under this spell that they can't do anything. And it's our job. It's your job. It's our state legislature's job to recognize that they are the ones that are supposed to protect us. And the Kentucky and the Virginia resolutions of 1798 and 1799 all spell this out, and 1800. Madison wrote a kind of a summary in 1800 on the Virginia resolution. If you understand what they were doing, and you hear these people talk about nullification, nullification was the last resort for Kentucky and Virginia. Their first attempt was to get the other states to join them in rebuking the federal government for passing a law that violated the law itself. And as Jefferson said, an unconstitutional law is no law at all. And so going back to that Department of Justice, how many laws are they actually prosecuting that are no laws at all because they're unconstitutional? That we have not delegated them the power to enforce or even to create those types of laws. Does that make sense? And so next week, when you tune in, probably Monday, I will ask you a very specific question about the Department of Justice. If you want to win a set of my books, and that goes to listeners, that doesn't go to hosts or constitutional scholars. But if you're a listener and I don't know you, then by all means, just dial in and you will earn and or win a set of books that I'll send to you. But with that, I realize that my show is basically about up. And so I hope you have a great weekend. I'm not watching the Super Bowl, but whatever you decide, God bless you, and we'll see you on Monday.